Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello everyone, deep dive here, Liverpool, Arsenal, Premier League, Anfield, this weekend, Josh, Chris, Board. We are going to be talking about Liverpool versus Arsenal in this game. First of all, to get us into it then, last time out, Josh against Arsenal, 1-4-1. They set up in the 4-3-3 formation that we've become accustomed to under Mikel Arteta. They went with the goalkeeper Aaron Ramsdale, Ben White, Rob Holding, Gabriel, Zinchenko, in the six, Thomas Partey, Martin Odegaard on the right-hand side of a pair of eight with Granit Xhaka. Right-hand side was Leandro Trossard. Gabriel Jesus was up top and Gabriel Martinelli was on the left-hand side. This was an enforced change because Saka was out with an illness. Trossard was had been playing up front before Jesus came back, and it would be Saka on the right-hand side with Trossard or Gabriel Jesus. Yeah. But one of the things is, that we know, we talked about this last week on the deep dive ahead of the Manchester City game, and I'll be honest, I don't normally pat myself on the back here, but like, I think we got that deep dive pretty much spot on. We covered pretty much everything. The only thing we didn't get is that it would be John Stones pushing up to make the box midfield, but everything else we talked about. This time around, I think it's a little bit easier as well, to be honest with you. So what I want to show you is how Arsenal have been getting themselves into a box midfield this season. So we've got Partey in the middle here in the number six. He sort of moves over slightly. Zinchenko joins him as a pair of sixes. That fans out the three centre-halves. Ben White becomes a right-sided centre-half. You've got Rob Holding and Gabriel in the middle. Now, Rob Holding's in there because of the injury to Saliba. So we've got Zinchenko, we've got Partey. Odegaard becomes the right-hand eight. And then we've got Granit Xhaka, who pushes up into a left advanced eight. So two advanced eights. You'd have your winger in Saka, you'd have your winger in Martinelli, and you'd have your forward in Gabriel Jesus. Now, this is a problem that Liverpool did very well against Manchester City by going into the 4-4-2 that you'd sort of suggested, from a 4-2-3-1 probably more than anything, but defended as a mid-block sort of 4-4-2, didn't we? How do you think Liverpool, did he learn anything from that City game, or did he do something completely different?
Well, I think if you look at City and Liverpool, City and Arsenal at the minute, they are very, very similar in terms of this desire to kind of isolate the two 1v1 masters outside and on the flanks, this box midfield, the back three. So any tactic that Liverpool kind of use against City should apply to Arsenal in the same week, really. We predicted that it would become kind of like a 4-4-2 that Liverpool used. We hoped that it wouldn't be a high press and it would be more of a mid-block. I think it should be pretty similar this time around against Arsenal. Maybe there's a bit more of an emphasis to press a little bit higher, considering you're at home, and considering I don't think Arsenal are as perfect in the first phase build-up compared to City, who are just masters at it. But overall, I think it's an opportunity for Liverpool to essentially, or for Klopp to essentially say to his players, right, do it again, but do it better this time. Because I think first half, we did get opened up a few times, to be fair. I mean, it's difficult not to against City. But I think first half, we were competitive. We did cause them issues. One or two problems going forward for them, where we obviously scored the opening goal and things like that. But overall, this is a difficult system to deal with. And if we let Arsenal play the way they want to play. These two lads especially will have a field day against our two fullbacks. That's what I'm concerned about most.
Agreed. I'm just going to put on onto our board four centre halves. So you can see the 4-3-3 formation. If you're listening to this on podcast, I've got Arsenal set up in a 4-3-3. I'm going to put Liverpool's four defenders in, and I'm going to put a sort of two-man midfield in for Liverpool. And I just want to show you how I think they will try and build up and isolate Martinelli on Trent Alexander-Arnold. And I think City did this very well as well with the use of Gundogan.
Yeah.
Gundogan, whose job it is as an advanced eight to move forwards here. And what that can do sometimes is, in fact, I'm going to take the Liverpool midfielders off. What that can do is if he pushes forwards in between the right back and the right sided centre half, you guarantee a one on one for Martinelli anyway, and he can cut inside because he's dragging a run with the defender. But what it also does is it brings in Odegaard, because as we know, Odegaard is a left-footed player playing on the right-hand side of an eight, an advanced role. And what that does, if you can get Odegaard the ball, he can get into that 10 position and start picking out passes, and they're all 1v1 ahead of him. And that's something that I think Arsenal are going to utilise against Liverpool.
Yeah, well, it's kind of similar to the whole Grealish and Mahrez dynamic, isn't it?
Yeah.
We were worried about that going into the City game, simply because this four in the midfield, it will attract Liverpool players in there just to cope with the number of players in there. As a result of that, you get this out wide. I think Mahrez, I saw the stats on, might have been Match of the Day. I think he covered more distance with the ball at his feet in terms of carries than any game all season. And it was like double compared to his next best. Like, how many times did Mahrez get the ball? Say this is Robertson here, inside Liverpool's penalty box or whatever. Mahrez got the ball here persistently and just went like that, straight at him, like direct. Grealish did it a few times, ended up coming in towards like central areas and things like that.
And that opens the Kevin De Bruyne thing, which is exactly the same sort of position that Odegaard's going to be taken up. And I find it fascinating, actually, when you take it back to that sort of box midfield and the three up front, that Gundogan is literally going to be Xhaka's role in this one. Kevin De Bruyne is going to be Martin Odegaard in this one. You got Mahrez, who's going to be Saka. You got Martinelli, who's going to be Grealish. And Martinelli and Grealish, they are going to attack us exactly the same way as Manchester City.
Yeah.
And Liverpool have got to be ready for it. And do you think having... This is where I sort of go back to the Chelsea game, Josh. We go to this sort of 4-4-2, 4-2-3-1, a mix of the two system, build up and obviously without the ball. We then go to a straight 4-3-3 midweek against Chelsea. I thought that was a strange decision, to be honest. I thought he would have gone same for all three games, if only to get into the rhythm, because you go, well, he had a good half, but he didn't have a good 90 against City. Change the system against Chelsea to then change back against Arsenal seems a little bit nuts, which makes me think maybe he's not going to do that.
Yeah, well, I think part of the changes for Chelsea, though, probably did just stem from the fact we rotated so much.
Yeah.
So to play with a...
new formation with new players.
Exactly, yeah. Maybe you just want to kind of rely on what you've got. But if Klopp used a 4-4-2 mid-block on the defensive side of the game against City, I don't really see over much of a reason why he wouldn't do it again in this game, unless Arsenal don't do this.
Is it the Anfield factor that would keep him away from doing that?
Arteta.
No, Klopp.
I don't know, to be honest. I think it would be... a lot would depend on what Arsenal do. And I think Arteta would have to be pretty ballsy, essentially, to come to Anfield and do this. Because this is kind of suited, really, when you're the dominant side. Because a lot of the time, you can get that where you've got five players ahead of the ball at all times. That is a lot to deal with if... Say if Klopp fields four forwards or something like that, like a Nunes, Salah, Gakpo and Jota, for example. That's a lot for them players to deal with. We know Arteta's got like a bit of a history with Anfield and things like that, and he'll probably want to keep the crowd quiet and stuff. So I do think there's the prospect of Arteta just maybe for the first period or something like that, going with 4-3-3.
Same 4-3-3.
Yeah, sticking to what the players know the most. And then maybe if they need a goal or if they get more comfortable in the game or whatever, open up to do this. But if they do this from the off, which, although it's bold, I think they probably should, it is the two wide players that I would worry about most, simply because in addition to them being really good, I think Saka is extremely difficult to deal with, even though Robertson's decent defensively. Martinelli always causes nightmares for Trent. It kind of stops them from getting forward. It makes them think twice about, because at least with Grealish and Mahrez, Grealish has never been the quickest. Mm. Mahrez is about 31 or something like that now. Saka and Martinelli are rapid. Yeah. So they are going to make you think twice about getting forward. And if you do think twice about getting forward, it just nullifies Liverpool's attack that little bit more. And we know lately Liverpool's attack hasn't been particularly great. So Arsenal do pose a really difficult tactical question for Klopp at the minute.
Absolutely. I'm going to ask a question of, yeah, feel free to tell me to go first, but what is your predicted lineup for Arsenal for this game and what formation?
I think, it's tricky. I think, do you want to go first?
Yeah, absolutely. No problem whatsoever. So I think they are going to do that, where they try and go from the 4-3-3 formation into the box midfield that I've sort of discussed. I think it's going to be Ramsdale. I think it's going to be Ben White. I think it's going to be Rob Holding, Gabriel, Zinchenko. I think it's going to be Thomas Partey. I think it's going to be Martin Odegaard. I think it's going to be Granit Xhaka. I think it's going to be Saka. I think it's going to be Martinelli.
That'll be Jesus. He always has blinders against us. And he's a monster without the ball as well.
He's just coming off a 2-goal game against Leeds as well, and he's had a full week's rest. Yeah, I think that's Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. And I think they do slip into this sort of three at the back in possession, because they always, as far as I'm aware, they always go into that in possession. It's out of possession. They defend like that in a normal 4-3-3 formation. And that's the transition that Arsenal make. So I think that signing of Zinchenko has blown Arteta's mind that he was able to get them from Manchester City.
Yeah.
I was saying this on one of the shows the other night. In fact, it was a watch long. I was like, who'd have thought that Sterling going to Chelsea wouldn't have worked, and Zinchenko going to Arsenal is the one that like enables them to play a completely different style of football? Like,
yeah. He's 26 as well.
Yeah,
good age.
So obviously Arteta knew he had that skill set in him.
Yeah. I've seen. I think it was Kyle Walker who said, you got asked who's the most technical player in the squad. Technical in a Guardiola team. And he said Zinchenko. Above like Bernardo Silva, Mahrez, Grealish, De Bruyne. He said Zinchenko. I remember when I said that, I thought to myself, Jesus Christ, I didn't expect that. Like,
yeah.
But he's shown it at Arsenal because he offers you real control, because he's never phased. He's always relaxed. Always keeps the ball. Makes good decisions. I think he's top of the league this season for progressive passes as well, above like Trent, Thiago, De Bruyne, Rodri. Mm. He's a serious player.
Absolutely. So let's now change the Reds from Arsenal to Liverpool. Jam! Done. Right. These are now Liverpool players, not Arsenal players, in the Reds. We tried that sort of 4-2-3-1 formation, didn't we? Which slot back into a 4-4-2 when we were defending against Manchester City.
I think we genuinely could see it again. I really do. But if we did, with it being an Anfield now, we're not against City away from home. Everyone's a bit more fit this time. I think he could now go with the four forwards that we were touching on. Obviously, although we predicted he'd use a 4-4-2 against City, one of the players was Elliot. He was a bit more of a midfielder at times, maybe. I think
he did well though, doubling up with Trent.
He did, yeah. I'd have no major problems with him playing, to be honest. But I think with it being an Anfield, there's the prospect of it being kind of like a front two of Salah and Nunes, and then you've got Jota probably over here, and you've got Gakpo over there.
Ooh.
Potentially Diaz on the bench somewhere.
Ooh.
And Bobby on the bench.
Ooh, okay.
But that would be, you know, going for it.
Yeah. I mean, Diaz, there is a chance he gets the bench. I think Leeds is the one they've marked on the cards that he's definitely going to be back in the squad. But I do think Jürgen said in his press conference, you're absolutely right there, that there's a chance that he comes back in. A couple of the injuries then. Van Dijk should be back after a midweek illness, goes back into the team.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Diaz obviously hasn't featured since the knee injury in October, likely Leeds. Thiago's been out since February with a hip injury. He's now returned to training, could be involved.
I'd be very surprised, but that's not bad news, is it?
No. Keita unlikely to pull on a red shirt again.
Okay, shock.
And Ramsey and Bajcetic, as we know, are going to be out for the full season. Yeah. Blew my head this. I don't know how I missed this. We paid £6.5 million for Ramsey.
£6.5 million for Calvin Ramsey?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was four.
Yeah. £6.5 million I read this week.
Yeah, it's a shambles, isn't it?
It's going up.
He hasn't even played.
Yeah. I don't know. How's that happened?
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
So, let's try and get your sort of predicted. If he goes for this sort of 4-2-3-1, dropping into a 4-4-2 formation, what's Liverpool starting 11?
Well, I'm not even certain he's going to do that, but if he does do it, I do think Trent comes back in the team, even though he didn't get a minute against Chelsea. Robertson left back, Van Dijk and Konaté.
Konaté not matter. Why Konaté not matter?
Because I think Konaté is better defensively, and I think if Trent needs help with Martinelli, Konaté is better suited to giving him that. Konaté is very quick, good 1v1. If Trent does push up every now and then and leaves Martinelli isolated with Matip, I think he'd tear them to shreds.
Okay.
Midfield. I mean, they've played two games already, haven't they? But I think I'd probably go Henderson and Fabinho again. We haven't really got any other options, have we?
No.
Who else have you got?
Well, Thiago coming back from injury, but
no.
That's that really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would be really tempted to just go with the same lineup as City, but with Nunes in place of Jota, to be honest. But a big part of me is also tempted to swerve Elliot in favour of Jota and go with a daft front four and just kind of go for it.
Okay, so against City, am I right in saying it was Gakpo, Salah, Elliot, Jota?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And they obviously then became the two and they became the four.
Yeah.
So Gakpo, Salah again?
Yeah. That would be Jota, I think.
Okay.
In the system.
And Gakpo.
Yeah.
Who's there again, Tony?
That would be, well, I mean, I would kind of have it more like that, to be honest.
Okay.
That would be.
Oh, you're going 4-2-4.
Yeah. Yeah, essentially with the ball, at least. With defensively, though.
Just go through it one more time for the slow people at the back.
So, that would be Nunes, Salah.
Centre forward.
Jota.
Right wing.
Gakpo.
Like it.
But that would be all out. I mean, you're going for it there, but so as I said, we've got not to lose, haven't
you? You've got Jota and Gakpo running back to make the four, and you're leaving Nunes and Salah up front. Kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Like it.
Yeah. And the thing about that is as well, let's say this is Thomas Partey, and you've got Zinchenko slotting alongside him or whatever. Zinchenko does tend to drift up here. Thomas Partey is sometimes expected to manage
a lot
wide
space.
Open spaces. He's very good at doing it, very mobile and things like that. But if we can kind of create a bit of what we did around Casemiro with that 4-2-2-2 thing with Gakpo picking up the ball around here, carrying it. I mean, Partey's more mobile than Casemiro is right now, like, but if we can just cause problems around Partey, depending on how much space Arteta gives him to manage, that could cause issues. There's so many different ways we can do it when you look at it, really, isn't there?
Yeah,
that's 4-2-2, that one. So,
what if we were to go 4-3-3, which is probably what most people are expecting in this fixture for Liverpool? Is it straight back four, exactly the same? Is it Fabinho, Elliott, Henderson?
Yeah.
Henderson being the left of the 2-8s, of course. Salah, Gakpo up front, Nunes left-hand side.
Yeah, that would probably be it for me.
Doesn't fill me with confidence this at the moment.
I know.
I don't know what it is, but like we've talked about, you know, we're going to go on and talk about the Chelsea game on Redmen Plus. Use the code DEEP for 50% off for the next 3 months and stuff. When you sign up as a club captain, please do that. It's going to be a good show, even though it was on a drab game. They tend to offer the most tactical sort of insight, I think, sometimes. But like, we've talked about how many times Liverpool have conceded big chances just between ourselves over the last couple of weeks and stuff, Josh. You know, we're just not creating chances on the other side of things, and this is the front three. It's not working for me. There's like, I don't know whether you've watched Avatar 2 yet.
I haven't, no.
Right, so bear with me. Avatar 1, I loved, right? Thought it was fucking magical, right?
Right.
Sitting there, gaping fucking mouth. During the entire film, forgetting to eat my popcorn, the missus eats it all because I'm so fucking wrapped in this wondrously blue film.
I'm curious as to where we're going here.
Right. Avatar 2, Way of the Water. All the same pieces. Lovely little battle scenes, new little exploration of the world, all the same fabulous blue.
Right.
No magic dust.
Okay.
Right. Three players playing exactly the same way.
Hmm.
No fucking magic dust.
I think I know what you're getting at, yeah. We're trying to play in the same way. I hope I know what you're getting at anyway. We're trying to play in the same way, but that's not Firmino anymore, and that's not Mane anymore, and that's not maybe Wijnaldum anymore. That's kind of what you're getting
at. Yeah, we're doing the same things.
Yeah.
But there's something missing. Yeah. We've got the same lads doing the same thing, different lads doing the same things, but there's no magic. It's not.
I mean, to be fair,
it's just not the same.
To be fair, though,
just miss everybody.
The last time we played at Anfield, though, we did win 7-0.
It was fucking ages ago now.
Yeah, but it was magic then.
And it was magic against Bournemouth as well. But I'm on here for two games a year. No, 7-9.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
At Anfield.
No, but this 7-0 win over United, it did involve a bit of this, you know, with Gakpo kind of dropping off and... I'm just hoping we can do it again. I'm clutching the straws here, like, but do you know what I mean?
I don't know. There's something missing from the front three. I don't think he's had Diaz, so I think it's hard to judge. And I think when Diaz comes in, you might see a little bit more of what the next evolution of those three players are, because I do believe it's going to be Salah, it's going to be Gakpo, and it's going to be Diaz. And Nunes, I don't know whether he's going to fit in at the moment or whether we have to go to this formation to get Nunes in. And we'll maybe talk about this in the Chelsea show in a bit. But like, if we put Gakpo here and Nunes there, Salah there and Diaz there, maybe that's where the magic comes from.
Yeah.
But right now, we're fucking pedestrian playing a 4-3-3 formation. We're not creating opportunities. We'll talk on against Chelsea. We created 0.35 in XG again. It's shit.
Yeah.
Like, we're not getting close enough to the goal. One of the things about Liverpool years ago was we take 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 shots in the penalty area in front of the sticks. Not doing that anymore.
No. I mean, one surprising thing that I did check this morning, we are third for the season for shots per 90, per match, or whatever you want to call it, behind only City and Arsenal. I think we're fourth for expected goals per 90. So the attack generally has not been that bad, but
maybe the last month.
Yeah, the last month specifically in big games, we've looked toothless, and I think that could open up the prospect of the 4-4-2, putting Nunes up top with Salah, both kind of like chance magnets. We did play a 4-4-2 at the Emirates. I know we got beat 3-2, and towards the end of that game, we just looked shattered, I felt, in terms of the fitness levels and that, but we did score two goals in that game against, at the time, potentially the best defence in the league, alongside Newcastle. I don't think Arsenal were conceding many goals at all at the time. But considering everything Arsenal do, how similar it is to Manchester City, the fact we used 4-4-2 when we went to the Emirates, we used 4-4-2 at the Etihad a week ago, I think we could potentially see it again. It just depends how much Klopp will go for it in terms of whether this is Elliot or whether this is Jota. Because if it's Jota with the ball, it's basically a 4-2-4. Whereas if it's Elliot, you've got a bit more of a midfield.
Yeah. Okay. So if you had to put your money on it, Josh, who have you got to win the Masters?
Rory McIlroy.
Rory McIlroy, really?
Yeah.
Have you, yeah. I've got John Rahm.
Have you?
Yeah, right. I like Rahm in this one now. But if you had to put your money on the football match, what formation did we play and what's the team?
I said my team. Let me say it again.
For the slow people at the back.
Right, we've got Alisson, Trent, Canate, Virgil, Robertson, Henderson.
Bit slower.
Fab.
Jota.
Jota, Gakpo, Nunes, Salah. And I think
it's 4-4-2/4-4-2.
4-4-2, yeah, and then might become a bit more than that with the ball. And in terms of the scoreline, I honestly don't know, you know, 2-0.
2-0, yeah. Okay. I'm going to make a change to that. I'm going to say, just because I couldn't pick the exact same team, I'm going to say that it's the 4-2-3-1, but I'm going to say that Salah stays on the right this side this time. So it's his job to go back. It's Henderson and Fabinho in the centre. I'm going to say Gakpo, Nunes, and have I missed the play?
Yeah, we haven't seen that, Jota. Have we? We haven't seen that yet, have we?
No.
You know, with Salah back out here, I mean, I think Klopp is maybe a little bit scarred from that early in the season because we started doing that, didn't we? Mm. He was never involved. And then we played him once, dude, and really scored a hat-trick against Rangers. Since then, Klopp's been like very, get Salah involved no matter where he is. But that would be interesting because then you'd get Gakpo supporting Nunes in the centre, and maybe that would allow Nunes to stay away from the ball a little bit more and finish Liverpool's moves in the box, and Gakpo does the number 10 stuff.
Yeah, and I'm going to say a I think Liverpool draw the game.
Okay, you think or you want?
I want Liverpool to draw the game.
You don't want them to win?
I want them to win. Depends whether you think I actually think I'm a Liverpool going to get beat. I want Liverpool to win. I think Liverpool will draw, but I think Arsenal are better than us, and I think the form we're in at the moment, we can kiss goodbye to top four.
We're very unpredictable, aren't we? It's very difficult to predict this, I think. Even Arsenal, we spoke about it before we started recording, didn't we, in terms of like their kind of mental block at Anfield. This is a big test for them. The pressure's on them, really, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Right, well, we'll be there. We'll be covering it as always. We'll be back next week, of course, but we've got a brand new deep dive coming up on Redmen Plus. If you like this, every single week we do a second deep dive over on redmenplus.com. To sign up as a club captain, go to redmenplus.com, subscribe, club captain level, use the code DEEP, that's DEEP, and you get 50% off for 3 months. So you can do that, and we'll see you over there.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.